views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
Die Hard was what, 88, 89? I think 88. It was like right at the very end of the 80s. Top Gun was right around then too, right?
86 or 88. Was it even year?
I think it was 86.
It was 86? Okay. You know what made Die Hard a more badass film? He didn't have a fucking F4. Tom Cruise did.
Or an F-14?
F-14,
yeah. F-14, the Tomcat.
Yeah, yes. Tomcat, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Tom Cruise had a jet.
The F-4, I'm just looking at Tom Cruise, like, pedaling.
Could we please get that? Instead of him running in every fucking movie, can we get him pedaling?
I want that Top Gun where it's like a fucking power wheel, but it's got, like, jet wings on it, and Tom Cruise sitting in it comfortably, weirdly.
Yes,
like,
but he fits in it. Yeah, you don't have the Tom Cruise trademark, which is, Seagal Run dominated what running was for a decade.
So walking and flailing your arms?
Yes, and now it's the Tom Cruise stiff robot run. I'm the Terminator run, which is kind of impressive for a man of 60 to still be doing the Terminator run.
You gotta give him props for that. That motherfucker is fit for his age.
Yes, he does have a weird body for his age.
Which I love during the beach scene in the new Maverick movie where they're hanging with the boys, part two. Playing beach football, all these muscly boys everywhere, and then you see like the shoulders up Tom Cruise, except for like half second.
Tom Cruise
wants
to be naked so badly, but they had to like play. They were playing angles throughout the whole movie. He's like, I just want to have my shirt off, but let's play the angles.
Yeah,
let's have a love scene where I'm shirtless, but you can't see most of me, and also Jennifer Connelly's wearing like a bed parka. And, it's going to be sexy.
I got some stuff to say about that.
I mean, you can't do 60-year-old Tom Cruise doing the silhouette lick scene thing from the first movie. It just doesn't play quite as well. Like, we've already had that movie this year. It was called X, where there was, like, a geriatric sex scene. We don't need to do that in the Maverick
movie. Another reason, like, I don't want to watch that film. It's a horror movie, but I've also been like...
Ooh, yes, I wanted to watch that, and I have not gotten
it. It's very good. It is unsettling for many reasons.
It looked interesting. They literally went out there to film a porn.
And then they got a lot more than they were expecting. Which is kind of what we're talking about. Not the, well, geriatric porn, I guess, a little bit. But also getting a little more than you expected with this sequel that we're talking about, which is Top Gun Maverick, that finally, after 2 years of delays on release, it has finally come out in theaters. And we have seen what our main ne'er-do-well has been up to all these years flying planes. He's busy going, like, being the fastest man alive, but also saying, fuck it. And looking, like, oh, by the way, spoilers for Top Gun Maverick, moving forward, for sure. But
I guess.
Yeah, sure.
It's not a really complicated movie. It's a pretty straightforward A to B storyline, bolstered by the 80s-ness of
it. There were a lot of, like, twists that I was expecting in this movie that didn't happen, so maybe that's the warning, is that...
Were you really expecting, like, a hardcore twist in a Top Gun movie?
They set it up so many fucking times, goddamn. Okay, so first off, they fully set up that Rooster blamed Maverick for his dad's death, and that he was too risky, and Rooster was not risky at all because of his experience with his dad dying and stuff. So there was absolutely a setup that Maverick's fucking... erratic flying style was going to end up saving Rooster, which they also set up by him being blown.
Which it blown did.
Up. Well, but...
But that wasn't the nature of that conflict, which I liked. I liked that it wasn't that thing that you were like, oh, it's definitely going to be this particular thing.
And then it became the thing that they released later in the film that he held him from flight school and like, oh, that's why he's pissed.
Which, yeah. That's confusing to me because it set my career back 4 years. Do you not get to just reapply next year? Like, how does that... Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know how that works. But if you apply to flight school and he's like, nope.
Yeah, we don't know how the politics works. Although it doesn't make sense that Tom Cruise has a lot of pull in himself. Like, he could have gotten Val Kilmer to pull that application. But Tom Cruise is like the black sheep of the Top Gun program of Naval Air, basically.
That's the thing that... that's the thing that fucking bugged me about this movie is that Tom Cruise is like the affluent white kid at a public school that's like, no, do you know who my dad is? my dad will sue your ass.
Yes.
Like, he has that energy where Val Kilmer can get him out of any situation. He's so pompous.
He became admiral.
He's so pompous about it, though, like, that he does whatever he wants, including, like, ruining a multi-billion-dollar experimental plane, and then somehow just look like a cartoon character where a bomb went off in his face, and the hair is blown back, and then he's fine. He's not arrested.
That scene was the only bit of dissonance in the whole movie. Like, I was laughing at 80s stuff throughout the movie, but that one scene was dissonant.
Just fucking weird. Thank you for listening to Geeks on the Influence. We are doing all things Top Gun Maverick. Welcome. For speed. Woo for speed. Yes.
Which we didn't get in the film, when I was kind of disappointed.
Oh, the need for speed
thing? We didn't get the line.
But we got the speed.
We didn't get the line. Dude, that Maverick goose scene in the OG was just beautiful.
You know what we did get, though, about 30 times is it's not the plane, it's the pilot. We did get to hear about as many times as Deadshot in this first Suicide Squad movie tells people that he kills people. Like, that's the same number of times.
What are we, some kind of Suicide Squad?
Bad guy. I'm a bad guy. Yeah.
What did you tell me? It's not the plane, it's the pilot. And later, it's not the plane, it's the pilot. Just over and fucking over again.
There were some cool callbacks to the original with the lines, though, because he literally says what Goose says to Maverick in the first film, was like, do some of that pilot shit. That was a straight Goose line.
Do some of the pilot shit.
It wasn't just the lines, it was the circumstances. They were basically remaking Top Gun in this modern circumstance.
But making it different enough where different circumstances where they could call it a sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Tobit and I had a discussion beforehand where I sung the praise of this movie, but I will say something here that I have not said to Hobbit yet, which is, this is my favorite movie so far this year.
Oh.
I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Wow. So far this year?
So Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Yeah, that's what
was my favorite movie this year. As far as a cinematic experience.
Oh, yeah.
There has nothing. In fact, not just this year, the white knuckle experience that I had watching this movie is something that I have not felt in the theater in years.
Ooh, that is a very accurate statement. I mean, obviously, we're going to go in depth on the issues with the fucking dialogue. I mean, yeah. No, I mean, that's a no-brainer. It's fucking the first one. We could dive into the shitstorm that film was. But I can agree with Tandy that when I was watching that in the theater, I mean, I was like, I mean, I was going through some anxiety at times, man. Yeah. Like, it was some real shit. And that is the point of the film, not the shitty dialogue and all that.
It's old man. You see Christopher McQuarrie's name from the Mission Impossible movies, and you're like, oh, he's the executive producer on this. Tom Cruise might almost die throughout this entire movie.
Right?
And that's the feeling of the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, old man Cruise is about to have a heart attack in this scene. And it's consistent throughout the movie.
There is definitely that Murtaugh, I'm getting too old for this shit kind of vibe through some of this film.
That's the next one. That's going to be three where you're serious.
But very quickly, let's introduce who's on this panel. We're doing a quick three spot for this one. We're doing this pretty shortly after the movie releases. So we've got some major gunners here to talk about.
Really?
had to.
Oh, Jesus.
My co-host on Smack My Pitch Up, Tandy Woodard.
Yeah, call sign Jonathan Blake.
Solid, yes. Call sign Lowdown Brown, my co-host here also.
What's going on, everyone?
From the Mouths of Madness and GY Knights and here.
And the man who, I got to say, I am more aggressive than him, which would put me under Maverick territory, but he logically leads things in the right direction. So would that be Goose? How does that work?
No, see, I would not be the gunner. I would be the in the backseat being like, fucking bro. Dude.
Do some pilot shit. So
Hobbit is the Bob.
I'm Bob.
Bob was fucking badass, Bob, dude. Bob was awesome.
The only time Bob got fucked with is because the equipment was fucking with him.
Yeah.
Like, the equipment started being all fucking wily, and that's the only reason that it like was an issue. But Bob had that shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
check out GOIPodcast.com. Call sign Hobbit, I guess.
Dude, oh my God. Can we get that helmet?
Oh my God.
Can we get that fucking
helmet? Oh, that would be awesome.
Holy shit, that would be pretty amazing.
It would be. Oh, that's a design.
That's a design.
We have like
Or just two pilot. We could even have the mast down and then have just the call signs on the.
Oh, dude.
That would be fucking cool.
Dude.
Hell yeah.
So good.
I'll see if I can work on that. But
you love that shit.
I do love that shit.
Yeah.
So, and one thing that we love that brought us to us having a sequel in the first place for Top Gun is the fact that dogfights are fucking rad. That's something.
Fuck yeah.
That's something that we knew from the early years of cinema where dogfight scenes in like. The 1930s. That was the whole
Wings of Glory. Maybe one of the first movie to ever win an Academy Award was about fighting aces.
Yep. And so that's how far back our love of seeing dogfighting on film goes to is really the beginnings of filmmaking.
And just the concept alone, fighting in a plane, like fighting in a fucking jet.
Yeah.
Like that. The concept alone is like.
Like the last time that we've seen fighting in a plane is when there were snakes in it.
Stop. Stop.
And they had to fight the snakes.
Fucking, ugh. I hate you.
Yeah.
Sam Jackson be my pilot any day.
Oh my God. The only way to make this movie better is that he's like an old pilot also that shows up and it's like.
That probably would have pushed this movie like over the edge. This movie was already full of ridiculous. Oh, that would have been like the...
Sam Jackson as the most admiral of the admirals would have been perfect.
So, no, see, they were trying to keep it in vain of the original one. So instead of Principal whatever the fuck come back to the future, we got Ed Harris, who could also be an asshole.
Yeah.
He wasn't supposed to be the same person, was he?
I don't think so.
Okay. But like, that kept it in vain. If we got Samuel L. Jackson in that spot, it would have just been a comedy fest. Think about it.
Now,
right?
His character in this movie, that is the one line of a character arc that I felt was completely unfinished, that it was set up in a certain way that would never had any kind of like trigger pulled on it, that to me suggests that there is going to be a sequel. Ed Harris's character being like, drones are the future. You're washed up. You are a has-been. I'm gunning for getting rid of Top Gun in the first place. It's all going to be drones. And then... literally nothing has to do with that after he gets to Top Gun.
And I remember when the teaser dropped for the film back in, 2019? That's when I was like, oh, it's him against drones. That makes sense. Like, how is this going to work out? What are they going to do? But then it's like, oh, no, it's still
the drone fighting. Setup is just so Tom Cruise can be like, that may be true someday, but not today, as a qualifier for the practical effects-driven, like, Tom Cruise-led old-school style of movie making that this movie represents.
You're right. And the practical effects, we'll get into that later.
Oh, but for sure.
The point that that was made there is that if that is going to be the, like, say, the story for 3, I think there's going to be a lot of conversation there too, because think about it. Yeah, I mean, I'm all for drones where somebody is safely back piloting the drone and there's less lives being at stake.
Sure.
But and we all understand, as long as that's being utilized where it can be, 100%, there is going to be a need for human pilots.
Sure.
No matter what the fuck, the drones, you're not going to be able to do that shit from a screen, right? Like,
well, you need split-second decision-making that is not going to really work in certain circumstances.
And AI is getting there. I think the thing, actually there is no thing. So there's a human factor where a person can make a decision that counteracts or countermands whatever order was given under specific circumstances. I think those situations are probably far and few in between. I think the issue with drones, which is pretty well known, is that they just separate the person from the action. If you're eating your Subway sandwich and pressing a button to take people out, it's a different thing than going into the action directly.
And actually watching it, seeing the aftermath as you're flying away from it. It's like, oh, this is like a TV show.
That was kind of the funny thing about how they set up this. Let's just be real here. The Earthbound version of the trench run from Star Wars.
Which is 100% movie. What it was.
It absolutely was. I shot Womp Rats bigger than that, whatever. is that we currently, not in this area where apparently, like, Russia has, like, fifth-gen pilot, like, planes that, like, make ours look like bullshit, even though our current government, our budget for military is, I think, 3 times the amount that Russia's
is. It's more than that.
Yeah, it's insane how much more. Mm-hmm. But, no, they have... That's the thing I couldn't really like let myself get over.
Out of a Top Gun movie, that's the thing. Out of a Top Gun movie,
their one thing is just like, this other country has better planes than us. I'm like, motherfucker, no, they don't.
No.
Come on. China has one aircraft carrier. fuck you.
Yeah, I think they actually probably just bought those planes from the United States, and the Navy's budget was such that we can only give you F-18s this year, but from this money that we got from the planes we sold to this other country, pizza party at the end of the year.
Yeah, right.
Little Caesars.
Oh. But yeah, only Little Caesars. Nothing local.
With the technology that we actually have, they could literally have drones that are like in the stratosphere that could fire weapons down instead of like doing the trench run. Just that it's open. Like literally the sky above it is open. Why is it just so wide open in a volcano? Come on, man.
Oh, because you couldn't have the G-Factor thing, man. That was all part of the thing, man.
You just have those drones just like, boo, whip, boom. Boo, whip, boom. Done.
I'm with you. That's, like, two. Just
two. I would have loved if that was the climax of the movie, is they're getting ready. They're on the aircraft carrier. They're about to go. And then the drone guy's like, oh, no, we did that. Why did you need weeks to do that? Like, we just did that this morning. We just programmed the drones.
Like, if you could... I don't know. Is the technology not there for honing in on a specific point from outer space?
In fact, I'm pretty sure it's there. That's what we do now. That's what the technology does.
Pretty sure
directly.
It's there. So why are we not just doing that from outer space?
Yeah.
Technology's been there since the 90s, actually. Desert Storm.
Yeah. So that is a good point.
They had what they called bunker busters back in the 90s.
You wouldn't get the sweet back and forth.
That's
the trench flying and the can't go above the fucking trench wall because the missiles and fucking.
You have to push all of the common sense out the window when it comes to this movie.
It's a Top Gun movie, dude.
The first way we're introduced to it is that Tom Cruise becomes the fastest man alive.
Is the greatest man in the world.
The greatest man who has ever existed.
He went Mach 10.3, dude.
And then he explodes in the atmosphere. He looks like a cartoon bomb blew up in his face and his hair is all blown back.
That was hilarious, dude. That shit was hysterical.
That was the dumbest shit I've ever seen. It was so fucking dumb. The only thing that's more dumb than that is the fact that he literally fucking survived it in the first place.
And the kid's like, what did he say?
Where are we? And he said,
like, Earth.
Yeah, Earth. That's what it was. Earth. I'm like, oh, fucking hell, man.
He might as well have just like walked in being like, shaking from like, when he came in. But then the next time you see him in a plane, there's two planes flying next to each other and he fully just like flies right in between them, like to a point where I'm pretty sure he scraped both of them going through. And I'm like, right there, right out the gate, there's two things that not only you would be like thrown out of the military for, but also probably arrested.
Oh, he would have been arrested several times over it.
I do like the, how he became, what was the teacher in the first one? Jester? It was what's his face?
Viper.
Michael Ironside.
Yeah.
That was Viper, wasn't it?
Was it Viper?
Yes.
I think it was Viper, yeah.
But like how he became him is like, oh, he ain't beating me, bitches. And he just like crushed all the students.
Versus them.
With the first one, only 2-1. It was Iceman and What's-His-Face and then Goose and Maverick that beat him. So it was kind of cool to see him, as Viper, but also like, nope, not today.
Oh, and that's the movie I was there for. I figured that Maverick was going to be about, they ended up having to go out on thing like the first movie. I don't even give a fuck about that being a retread. Cool. Totally fine with that. You have Tom Cruise as the instructor that he's now responsible for, not just his co-pilot, Goose, but he's responsible for all these young kids. And then also learning that Rooster was
going to
be...
Oh, you thought this was going to be a Passing the Torch movie? A Tom Cruise movie was going to be a Passing the
Torch
movie?
And you know what?
Movie?
That is fair. That is my mistake. That is my fault for expecting Tom Cruise to pass anything.
When he was supposed to give up the Mission Impossible franchise like 5 movies ago. And they're...
Hey. 4 and 5 and 6 are good, damn it.
They are good, and I'm not disparaging the movies. I'm just saying that Tom Cruise
is not passing any torches.
Yeah.
You know how much he makes for those movies?
Giving Tom Cruise shit because he's Tom Cruise, but also Tom Cruise, like the amazing transfer. Like this dude was a movie star because he was the ultimate white frat boy with this stupid grin that, man, I hated that guy.
That was Risky Business's
fault. Please punch me in the face,
grin. Please punch me in the face, guy.
Yeah, that was Risky Business's fault.
And he transitioned his brand from that into being like, a genuine badass and like a cinematic icon of like little man, big dick energy, that Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing.
He's done some films that has little man, little dick energy, like Rain Man. Like 75% of that film, he's like little man, little dick energy.
Yeah, but that was before the turn, before Tom Cruise is like, I'm going to continually put my life on the line.
Oh, so that's before like Mission Impossible 3.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying. It's
but before... Before that, and before, like, Reacher, whatever, all the things that he does,
Minority Report.
Like, I actually am a badass.
Yeah. See, I've never, I don't care what movie it is, there has not been a single movie he's done that has given me big dick energy at all. It's Little Man, like,
Napoleon.
Jackhammer.
Overcompensation energy?
Jackhammer, yeah. Selfish lover energy, yeah, is what I get from
okay,
him.
Okay, yes.
Napoleon Complex.
Yeah, all I mean, day. Big time,
all
yeah.
All day, yeah. Because, I mean, well, you got Minority Report, which
he's
he
like
had
the
some...
yells things thinking he's being sexy, but it comes off as, like, super fucking creepy and jarring.
But here's,
like,
here's the thing.
I'm fucking you! And she's like, no, I'm here. Like, I'm here. I'm
I feel
right
your,
here.
I feel your 3 inches. Yeah, it's cool.
Right. But Tom Cruise is the 100%. So it might even be a jackhammer guy, but he's 100% with that 3 inches every time. He's bringing
that's,
all the
okay.
energy he I'll has
just,
to
I'll
bear.
Give you that.
That's the title. 100% with those 3 inches. Can we shorten that up somehow?
He fucks like he Terminator runs. It's like with necessity and with fucking purpose.
Oh, man. Yeah, I love how they made fun. He knows his run. They made fun of that in the Super Bowl commercial 1 year. It's like, dude, yes, you've had that run. Like, he did it in The Firm.
Yeah.
Like, it's running between courthouses. He's like, did that in The fucking Firm.
I've watched so many movies where the way a person runs will just totally throw me out of the movie a little bit.
Seagulls and, is a big one. Yeah, that's some ridiculous
shit. Tom Cruise
shit.
Doesn't take me out of the movie, but it's very robotic. Somebody who runs well, and we just watched it again the other night, is Michael B. Jordan in Creed 2. He's like running down.
Oh, when
like,
he's yeah, doing down the street?
Because
yeah.
He runs like a sprinter. He runs like a college sprinter.
Yeah, he's running like so fucking fast that, but it's like with great form. Fantastic fucking form. Well, I'm like, I could watch him run. I don't want to watch anybody run. It makes me tired watching people run. I will watch Michael B. Jordan run.
I think the big thing that is the difference, honestly, and I know what you're talking about. When I saw Creed 2 on the screen, big screen, I was like, holy fuck. But I think it's that when Tom Cruise runs and he's trying to go fast, he's really straight up. Like, he's yep. not quite 90,
like,
but he's almost there.
Hurts.
Yeah, it's like, no. If you look at Michael B. Jordan in that, he's not fully bent over, but he's at like a good, like, I don't know, 75 degree angle where it's like, okay, now you're more aerodynamic. Like, it makes sense that you're exerting the force forward. Straight up, you can't do shit that way, man. That's like bicycle kicking in the air.
Tom Cruise has hurt his mom in like a fucking, on a fucking motorcycle next to him with a megaphone being like, don't slump, you'll get a hump. Like, yeah. As he's running.
So I think that's really the big difference that makes Michael B. Jordan's believable, that he's actually just going. Where, like, again, Tom Cruise is just, he's always just straight up. He's like, gotta see my face while I'm doing it.
Yeah, well, yeah, but he's also trying to do the Terminator run like he's unstoppable and doesn't get tired, and you don't see him get tired. Like, what was the movie where he broke his ankle and he's still doing the stupid...
Mission Impossible Fallout.
Yeah. Yeah. Still doing the run.
But
yeah.
I will say, his run definitely suggests that if he had to make a hard turn at any point, he would just do, like, the... Captain America running into a window thing when he's trying to learn his body, that if suddenly he does full speed ahead, like he's got fastballs, there's no curveballs in his running.
Yeah, yeah.
He can't fucking deke at all. There's no deeks happening.
Or maybe just as the Tron move where it's just... Yeah, right.
Or just 90 degree angle. Yeah. It's one or the other. Oh my God. He probably can do that.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise, Xenu has gifted him the powers to just make 90 degree, like, full sprint turns.
And I didn't think we were actually going to get the sprint, and then, God damn it, we did.
Yeah, we did. We got
but
definitely
through the snow. How do you terminate a run in the
through the
snow
in
dude?
Heavy fucking pilot gear?
Well, he dropped his bag. Whatever.
He had his helmet. That helmet's like 20 fucking pounds.
You know what I really noticed in that scene was that, all right, so the enemy's faceless because they're not important. The only thing that's important is Tom Cruise. The enemy base is right here. We don't see Nan one enemy. We see their helicopter. We see their planes. We have no idea still by the end of the movie who the enemy actually ever was. It's a video game sequence. Mm. Just so Tom Cruise can be awesome.
Yeah. Well, what's his name? Who plays Rooster?
Miles Teller.
Miles Teller. And he could be awesome too, you know?
That's because America doesn't have any country that has like a powerful military force that is a threat to us. That's why even the fucking Red Dawn remake, they made it a vaguely Asian country. There wasn't an actual
country. No, they said
country.
Korea. They said
Korea.
Did they
say Korea?
They said North Korea. Yeah,
North Korea. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
They can't
yeah.
afford to feed people. Like, yeah. But, you know, they got these special fucking jets.
Russia hasn't been able to afford to feed people in 40 years.
Because
we were worried about them in the 80s.
Because
so.
They're buying planes and guns. Like, that's why they can't feed their people.
Yeah.
Korea just can't.
Well, that's
do
North Korea,
either.
Too. Their yeah. entire budget is military
yeah.
for North Korea, unfortunately.
Military of 1960s equipment.
Yeah. Yeah, no shit.
They could invade maybe Los Angeles, probably not, because there's a lot of guns there too. So.
Which is surprising, because California, I figured, you know, cool.
No, California has guns. Definitely has guns.
Oh, we're talking about legal versus illegal.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, probably illegal. Yeah.
But, yeah, this movie's got, the action for days is what's ridiculous, but that's what I went for, right? But, like, the story did actually... There were a couple scenes where the story did actually kind of take me, like, okay.
The plot wasn't bad. The script was bad. Like, it had the points that I wanted. It had mighty wings. It had the need for speed. It had a danger zone.
Had the speed, yes.
It had one danger zone at the beginning.
It had a very important danger zone. It had all the points that I needed in a Top Gun.
And that's when you knew you were getting a retread, because they did the same scene updated to open the movie that's, like, not related to the movie. It's just... This is what the naval aerial force looks like in action, and also the movie, which is the same thing that Top Gun did.
It's true. I recently went back and rewatched Top Gun. It's on Netflix right now, people.
Me too, yeah.
Because I wanted to. I'm like, fuck.
It's still so immensely rewatchable.
It left yesterday.
Did it?
Yeah, the last day you could watch it was May 31st.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Well, shit.
Well, you should fucking own it. I just watched it because of convenience. I fucking got it, bitch, on 4K.
Yeah, I think I have it too.
Yeah,
It's one of those classic 80 movies you gotta have.
You gotta own it. But the
in your Days of Thunder Top Gun collection.
Days of Thunder Top Gun. Because he did NASCAR. We're gonna get that sequel where his kid wants to race or some shit.
Oh, please no. How'd you guys feel about
Knights of Thunder? Oh man! Oh god, it's fucking terrible.
How'd you guys feel about Jennifer Connelly replacing what's her face from the first movie?
I am okay with anything Jennifer Connelly does. I mean, she could go work out for 3 hours and then sit on my face, and I'd be fine with
no,
it.
No, Jennifer Connelly is a beautiful. She is an objectively beautiful.
She has aged
beautiful
very
woman.
Well.
She's her aged very well.
Acting is still on point.
Still great actress. I was actually relieved that they didn't get the original love interest back, not because I had an issue with that actress or that relationship, is that you don't need everyone. You don't need Meg Ryan to show up. You don't need the original love interest. In the first movie, they were talking about how it wasn't going to work out because of their age difference and because he was like a hot shot. So really, do you think they were together 35 years later?
Oh,
on and off,
not.
On and off over 30 years. Like, now
she was already older than him. He's 60. Do you think she's not retired? She's retired. Oh, she's living with her husband and three kids in like Cape Cod and very happy and hasn't thought about Tom Cruise and his jackhammer dick at least a few years.
Or she probably has, actually.
Or because she married a senator or something.
and it's like, do you want the jackhammer or do you want the
really nice vacations?
Yeah.
She tells really nice the really
vacations.
Nice vacations.
Yeah. Vacations. Because she can like in secret fuck the pool boy. Get her jackhammer.
The
in.
Jackhammer or pushing a marshmallow through a keyhole. Dude, which one do you want here?
I thought it was weird that Jennifer Connelly had such a young daughter, and that I feel like it should have been like, so you know that's your daughter, right?
I thought they were going there, but then I just like, as the story went on, I'm like, okay, they're not doing that. So I just like completely just went away.
But this brings up the biggest point issue that I had with this movie is that I really liked that they set up situations like his relationship with Jennifer Connelly, and that there's already a history there, and there's stuff that has been happening this whole time, and it feels like time has passed, and that's great. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be informed on every little bit of thing that has happened since the 80s to now. Thank you for not trying to overexplain the shit. Let me just assume life has been happening this whole time. Great. And then they have the shittiest, most poorly put together flashback sequence of him seeing Miles Teller playing Great Balls of Fire, and it flashes him back to like Goose playing Great Balls of Fire, and it's grainy and like artificially aged to look like it's like a memory or some shit.
Uh-huh.
And it's so bad.
You hate that?
And it's so jarringly like weird and out of place. And one of those like, just in case somebody hasn't seen Top Gun, we want to catch them up in this moment.
Yes, but it is
so they understand
it is
the context.
And out of place as making Miles Teller look exactly like Anthony. What's his face?
That's just like I miss my dad energy.
I guess.
Well,
it was weird. It was a very weird choice. I agree.
He looks just like him. And I was going to say that, I guess in the scene, it doesn't seem that out of place because he got kicked out before that came on. So he's like watching him from the window instead of being inside in it. And how like he's not involved with that at all, even though he like grew up with the kid and helped make Ryan's character raise Rooster. You know, like, I feel like there's a lot of that that goes in that scene. And like the fact that he sees Goose in him now as a grown man, like that was his best friend. So like
I get what they were trying to do, but it was also like
I think they did it. It's just the flashback wasn't great. Everything else around that, I think they did perfectly.
I think the way they established that relationship wasn't the greatest either, because it, you do find out later that he has been part of Miles Teller's life.
Yeah.
Consistently, but that's not how that relationship is presented.
It is like he's estranged at first until it's like, oh no, like on her deathbed she told me to like pull his fucking paper. I'm like, wait a minute, bitch. Wait, hold on.
I tried to be the dad for him that he didn't have because I killed his dad.
They were very slow to release that information.
Yeah. But the information, the relationship on screen wasn't informed at all by the information that you got about that relationship.
Like when he shows up to the first day of training, like it was weird. It was like how you react to somebody that fucked you over, but you also only saw every once in a while in your life. You know what I mean?
Like, didn't have a relationship.
Exactly.
Like you're estranged. Your estranged baby daddy stepdad that comes like Christmas. Oh, here's a gift, little man. I'm gonna spend some time with your mama. Don't bother us.
Yeah, Tom Cruise up. 20. Tom Cruise shows up and is like, I'm not calling you dad. But also that's another thing, is that all of these pilots that Tom Cruise is training in this circumstance are already out of Top Gun. They already are the most elite pilots.
The best
pilots,
of the best already.
The best of the best already.
They had to up it,
they
man.
Have, they have
had
worked,
to up it.
They have worked out all their shit. They become the best pilots that exist on the planet. And
they still got something to learn.
Still, they're the bad news fucking bears. There's Hangman that the minute that
Dude,
he has the chance
to... His helmet was awesome.
His helmet was awesome.
Oh, missing the A's, that was badass.
He was the most cartoon fucking character.
He was trying to be Iceman. He was trying to be Val Kilmer so bad.
He was trying to be Maverick.
He was trying to be Maverick.
Yeah.
And Maverick was already there being like older and slightly wiser, but still like a douchebag Maverick. And so he had to go bigger than Maverick, which made him a fucking cartoon character.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Because no, Iceman was safe and he hated Maverick for being so fly by night. So he was like Maverick on steroids. He was annoying either way.
He's like, I'm the best. I'm super the best. No one's as good as me. And they're like, you aren't a team player. Like, you leave your wingman all the time. He's like, yeah, I do, because I'm the best. And there's no.
Even at the end when he saves them, he still had that cocky.
That wasn't
dude,
earned.
Really?
I was like, fuck that. Fuck them for giving Hangman the Han Solo moment where he comes in at the end and saves the day. Fuck
I knew.
You.
I knew it though. Like, I knew at a certain point of that end of that film, I was like, they're not going to die. It's going to be Hangman
because
he is constantly listening the entire time, you know, like ready to go.
There were no surprising beats in the movie except for the fact that Tom Cruise never died. That was the surprising beat.
I thought he was going to die.
Because he should have died.
Yeah, he should have died.
Several times. He should have
passed the torch. And now Top Gun 3 should just be all about Rooster surviving and like Hangman getting some humility. That would be great too.
I was expecting at first... even before it got to the point of them doing the run, I figured that Tom Cruise was going to sacrifice himself to save Rooster, and that would have been kind of poetic that he was the one that died, and then Goose's kid is the one that survived, deal. And then that didn't happen, and then they were like, they were doing behind enemy lines, but instead of Owen Wilson, it's Tom Cruise and fucking Miles Teller trying to get away. And cool, great. Destroyed a gunship. That was very cool. But then they find an F-14 as just like I remember this from the first movie. Click, click, click.
That was definitely,
he outflies the starships in basically a biplane.
And also, I swear the same people that made Nissan airbags that are currently being recalled in my car also made the fucking ejector seat in the back seat of the F-14s because none of them work, apparently. None of them work.
Well, Nissan's not exactly been a reputable like car company for the last like 15 years. Just saying.
So they probably are doing the...
Yeah, exactly. Like I was saying, like, they're like, we need to make money up somewhere, folks. Let's just throw it into the fucking...
Let's just put airbags under the seats in the planes, and then it's fine. Yeah. Who cares if it shoots metal, too? Oh, also, a little nugget I got about this fucking movie, Maverick, about Tom Cruise, and like, just this makes me hate him so much more. You know that fucking World War II plane that he was working on in the
apparently Spitfire or whatever.
He's been so good at being a bad pilot for so long that he has his own aircraft hangar with like lots of very cool vintage shit in it and like very cool motorcycles and like
real life.
That's his plane. That is literally
why
his
does
World
that
War II
not
plane.
Surprise me?
That literally he brought. Apparently, he got James Corbin to like go up in that plane with him when he was like doing press and stuff. But it's literally his plane.
I remember when James Corbin went up with him to jump in an episode or something like.
No, he went up in a plane with Tom Cruise and.
There's a thing with James Corbin where James Corbin and Tom Cruise go up in a plane to jump skydive.
No, this is Tom Cruise apparently flying a World War II era plane with James Corbin as his goose.
In the back.
Yeah, I mean, people like James Corden for whatever reason, so that makes sense.
What people? No one I know likes him.
At a certain point, people liked him. They did. Like 6 years, 7 years
maybe
ago.
It was before he played every gay character as a straight guy.
Yeah, so 6 or 7 years ago. Yeah.
Your mom probably likes him.
People liked
him. Oh, she probably does, but she also likes Tyler Perry.
Yeah,
so.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. I know.
Oh, no, okay. So, but no, I mean, I'm just being real. Like 6 or 7 years ago, before he did that, it became like the voice for any, whatever the fuck. People liked him. They liked his car karaoke. They thought he was somewhat funny, and then he just, like, people realize, no, he's never been
the
thing that you thought he was.
Well, it's, to me, James Corden, it's like liking Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy's just kind of like a goofy, lovable guy.
No.
James Corden has been doing the, like, he's not gay, he's British thing for, like, his whole career, and it's just annoying.
I guess. It's just, it's corny either way, and it's not to my taste.
I get the Fallon thing, and Fallon, because I burn out on him. SNL, I burn out on Fallon. Then he got his own fucking late night.
I don't like his thing at all. I don't dislike Jimmy Fallon. Like, he's not offensive to me. I do not like his thing. I think it's not funny.
Yeah.
Well, his thing was always breaking laughing.
Yeah.
That was his thing.
I like his
SNL.
Go on get thing that he does on late night sometimes where he just like reads off things like go on get. It's the dumbest thing ever, and I understand if nobody likes it, that's fine. I just think it's funny. Yeah, but besides that...
Because you are a 65-year-old woman living in the body.
Look, as much as I try to be, like, modern and progressive, I'm still, at the base of my heart, a white. So there's going to be aspects of that still bleed through.
And you're like, a white.
Like, I'm still going to put too much mayonnaise on a sandwich. I'm going to like from Jimmy Fallon.
I do the mayonnaise thing.
I love mayonnaise.
Yeah, mayonnaise
exactly. I don't get how that became a trope. I don't understand.
Fat is delicious.
Fat is delicious.
Speaking of some other delicious things, we're going to hit break and hear about some of the other shows on the network that you can enjoy just as much as you're enjoying this episode.
I'm going to go eat a tablespoon of mayonnaise.
This episode brought to you by Tablespoon of Mayonnaise.
All right.
And on that note, stick around. We'll be back right after the messages.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-wiggin animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
In a world of blockbuster movies, there's another dimension.
The dimension of schlock cinema. Join us at Beautiful Disasters on a journey into the fringe territory of B-movie abandon.
We review the flicks that are forgotten or underappreciated to give them a proper place in the annals of celluloid history.
I'm the Groots.
F.U. Hunter.
Your guides at Beautiful Disasters. Come along with us for a fun ride.
May the schlock be with you.
In a world with too many reboots and remakes,
two men will stop at nothing to make it even worse.
Join Mike the Hobbit and Atandi as they play by their own rules while pitching new takes on some of your favorite and least favorite films and TV shows. What podcast would dare to bring this upon the world? This is Smack My Pitch Up.
Hey guys, Scotty P here with Smash
on your left.
And we are
the Geek Fathers.
That's right, bringing all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent.
So welcome to our world.
And as always, join us
or cry.
We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things Top Gun Maverick. Woo!
You feel good about that?
Danger Zone.
Danger Zone.
There
has not been enough Archer references episode.
Dude, when it shows him drunk riding on that fucking horse was amazing. It was a season like 5.
Yep.
Or 6. It was well before the show should have probably ended then, but it didn't. It kept going.
Yep.
Archer kept going.
But that fucking intro teaser for that season, I remember being like, oh, this is going to be epic. This is going to be fucking epic.
But speaking of going and going and going, we're going to continue to do that. But first, we got to hit our sponsors a little bit. And first off, of course, it's Amazon.com. You know what? You've shopped it. You will probably shop it sometime in the future. And if you do, we just ask you that you shop it through our link at GUIpodcast.com. Click on that link and you get to Amazon. It just tracks what you're purchasing and gives us some money from it. So you can buy the same stuff that you were buying before. And Amazon goes, hey, somebody bought stuff, here's money. And then we get the money. And then we get to spend the money on stuff.
We appreciate it. Like, hey, I got my 4K copy of Top Gun off Amazon when it released. I'm just, you know, fuck, whatever. They had the best price, actually, over Best Buy or anybody else.
And obviously you're going to find some decent deals on Amazon. We suggest if you want to go through the whole cavalcade of Tom Cruise movies, including like Risky Business or...
Buy your eyes wide shut masks on Amazon.
Order your Blu-ray. No, order your DVD copy because they haven't released it on any other fucking upgraded thing of Vanilla Sky.
Vanilla Sky, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
If you want to get a copy of War of the Worlds for some reason, then...
Oh, fuck you, Spielberg.
Yeah. Not for everything.
No, for that for particular. That
specifically, yeah.
The only good thing about that movie was John C. Reilly.
Now, something that really you don't have to like pick or choose, they're all great, is all of the designs on our TeePublic page. Okay, all right. I have some phoned-in designs too, but there's over 40 designs, so like the good majority are pretty good.
No, they're I would say 80% are solid. There's 20% where they're suspect.
I don't expect to ever make a sale on the Girls Go Crazy for a pear-shaped bear.
No.
Deeply upsetting.
No, it's just design. A pear with a bear head.
It's a pear with a bear head. Look, sometimes in my head it sounds great.
You still didn't stop when you saw it.
I mean, it's not costing me money to host it on our page. Like somebody was like, I like pears and I also like bears. So this is like a perfect
show. And they rhyme, so we're down.
Yeah,
we're
in. And then they're like into the
show.
You're
going to be looking at the sales one night and see just a ding as I drink for the first time in years and years and get myself a pear-shaped bear t-shirt.
Perfect.
Pear-shaped bear boxers. Whatever the design is on, you may see that ding.
You're going to have to explain to on a Zoom call why you have a coffee mug that has a pear-shaped bear on it. Yeah. So, yeah, there's not just pear-shaped bears. There's all sorts of fun designs available through, which I do think at the very least we should do like a GY. I'll try to do like a fun logo for this episode where it has like the Top Gun logo, but it's GY.
Yeah.
I'll do something
just
like
don't
that,
confuse it with Kubrick.
With Kubrick?
Yeah, Full Metal Jacket wears like another helmet with a Born to Kill on it.
Oh, yeah. Born to Pod on the side.
Born to Pod.
Yeah, no,
we haven't
done Kubrick
done
yet.
A Kubrick.
No,
ooh,
we need to. Yep.
Eyes wide shut. Yay!
No, that's going to be second half tire fire. That's what that's going
to
be.
GUIpodcast.com/store. That'll send you to our TeePublic page where you can look at all these designs. They're on sale all the time. So if you don't see them on sale, just wait a few days, check again. They'll go on sale. And all sorts of designs on shirts, on stickers, buttons, coffee mugs, baby onesies.
Just not koozies.
Not yet. Hopefully one day.
Not yet. Well, how many?
One day.
You're hopeful.
I am hopeful. And I'm hopeful that you listening will show your love to GUI by buying some merch, telling your friends, buying the designs for birthday presents. Your great grandmother would love a
baby showers. We have onesies.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, we do have baby onesies. Nothing like the human centipede live, laugh, love design on a baby onesie.
I agree.
Yeah.
Totally. Just makes you feel all warm and fuzzy.
Make some questionable choices in your wardrobe and shop our Tee Public page at GUIpodcast.com/store.
Different drunken evening single click ding that you see pop up in your things purchased feed.
Right. But onto the magic that really makes this show function, more so than the merchandise that you're buying or the Amazon sales, the fluid that keeps this F-14 going of just
jet
debauchery.
Fuel. It's called jet fuel.
I think that might be what we're dealing with here. We'll see.
It's not that bad.
On our segment called What We're Drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey,
we're drinking. We're getting drunk.
If there's a way we could have like matched that up to certain parts of Danger Zone, that would have been amazing. That would have been so good.
Hey.
That's what I'm saying, dude. You get it.
Yeah, but we've had too many Danger Zone references. Can we perhaps match it up to Take My Breath Away?
No. Do 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 do.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. Hey, you fucking drinking. You wanna know?
which is surprising that they didn't try to enforce that song into the movie.
Yeah, I think the energy that the movie was going for was a little bit different. The stiff love scene would not have benefited from a Take My Breath Away.
It was an old person love scene versus like a young and Jackrabbit.
That was like
scene.
Take my insure away.
You know, that should have just been cuddling. It should have been cuddling or like an intimate conversation. Don't imply anything that obviously did not happen. It was so uncomfortable.
It wasn't a good scene. I agree.
And they followed up by the kid finding out that her mom just got banged
out. But it was all like serious. It was like, just don't break her heart again. You could break her vagina, just don't break her heart. That's what the kid was saying.
Like, pound that shit. Just make sure that you don't pound her heart.
Aww. It's like, oh.
And what do you think they were drinking in that scene?
Yeah.
I don't know. So I brought a share because I want everyone to try it before I announce what it is. I'll take it with you. Here we go.
It doesn't smell bad. Cheers. It smells like it might be like sweet. Oh, I think I know what this is. Is that a screwball?
It is.
Yeah. Yep. No, it's not bad. It is not bad. It's
not good either.
So,
no.
So what is screwball?
It's peanut butter whiskey.
Oh, well, that's a thing, I guess.
No, so I saw this and I was like, you know what? A Top Gun episode? Yeah. You know, and immediately I thought why was this not a call sign?
Screwball?
Screwball. Yeah. Dude, seriously. We had fucking Merlin in the first one, goddammit. We don't have a screwball in any of them, either?
I want to see where they get down to where they're not even considering screwball, but they're like, you know, Bob's not a bad one.
Yeah, in the 45 years or 50 years of the program, I'm sure there's been a screwball to come through the program.
Yeah, but so, yeah, I just saw this. I thought it was fitting, you know.
For sure.
For this movie, yeah. As well as the beer I brought is Lone Star, and I mainly got that because it has a giant star that reminds me of Maverick.
Aww.
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
I went from my experience growing up where the movie takes place actually literally like Miramar. I lived near Miramar,
the Mojave Desert.
Oh no, they ended up going to the Mojave Desert, but like because the program moved. That's right.
Yeah, the program moved.
But
yeah.
Fighter Town USA and the first Top Gun does take place in Miramar, which is like just outside of San Diego.
Did you hear a lot of jets breaking fucking sound barrier?
Oh yeah, all the time, honestly.
How does that sound in real life? Curiously. I don't think I've ever heard that growing up on the East Coast.
Kind of like thunder without the resonance behind it, like the first like crack of thunder, but then there isn't that like resonation afterwards. Yeah. But yeah, I literally saw like the Blue Angels. Well, I've been to air shows, but also the Blue Angels, which were the like the Daredevil planes that did all the cool loop-de-loopy things.
So like the Hal Jordan?
The Hal Jordans of, yeah. I would see them, you know, doing practice runs and stuff because, you know, even though we weren't close to the airfield, we were still in the city. So you could still see them off in the distance.
I mean, they're way the cool fuck shit. Up there doing crazy shit. I mean, you're not going to miss it, right? Yeah.
But
that's cool.
Yeah, so I got to see all sorts of like planes flying around doing all sorts of crazy shit growing up. So
see, now I think we should state that, like, obviously this movie is a bit of a tire fire. I still enjoy the shit out of it, but the fact that there are people in real life that can just do amazing things in fucking jets is like the cojones and backbones on these people.
Well, that's what makes the movie awesome, because they're doing a lot of that stuff in the movie.
I think that's part of the reason why this movie is important to me, is that I was in San Diego when they were filming this. I was a child. Yeah, I was a baby.
Obviously.
I was younger than Miles Teller was in the program. I was in the junior Top Gun Academy at the time.
So you just went to grocery stores and just rode the
plane? The little 25-cent machine planes.
You were Archer before you even knew it.
Yep,
it totally didn't even exist yet. You were already Archer. You're like, I'm setting the precedent.
But also remember, my parents, well, you may know, the listeners may not, that my parents met in the Navy. Both my parents were Navy. My dad retired Navy. My mom retired after I ruined her career by being born. And
kids do.
Kids will do that.
Kids?
So,
yeah, I mean, you know. Just,
so I was on and off Navy bases all the time around the time that this movie was being made, because we went to the Navy Exchange for groceries like we did. You know, we were...
Because they got baller shit for low prices.
Oh, yeah, for
fuck
sure.
Yeah.
And so we were around Navy folks around the time this came out, like even around Navy folks when I was old enough to see the movie.
How did the Navy take this film? Do you remember any of that?
Oh, they loved it. They
really?
Loved it. Oh, because it made them look like badasses.
Yeah, they were probably had a huge hand in like funding and like letting them use real footage.
Well, yeah, you know the actual flying footage was actually Navy airmen.
My mom does say, and I don't know if this is like one of those like tall tales that it becomes like bigger than the actual story, or if this is like legit what happened, but there is a scene in Top Gun where there's like a crowd in the distance when there's like a family day or something. I think it was one of those. And they have a shot where you can see the crowd that's watching the movie being filmed in the movie. And my mom was like, I'm in that crowd. And like, where are you? She's like, oh no, I mean, it's like a million miles away. You can't see me, but I'm in that. I know that I'm there in that crowd.
Well, that's cool.
So.
And I don't know why. I get what you're saying. Some people are like, oh, I need to see you. It's like, no, I know I was fucking there. I remember that goddamn day. I was there during the filming.
Well, and this was also, again, a tall tale that it was, I don't think it was even my mom or dad. It was one of their friends that told me that landing strip where he does the flybys, on land.
Oh, you mean like after he, like the first flyby does, it gets him like scolded after he beats
that
Viper?
One, yeah. Where he's like a permission for flyby and he's like negative Ghost Rider, the bad end is full.
I'm doing it. Yeah.
That there, because it was so close and loud that it actually cracked one of the windows in the tower, and that it was there for years afterwards because they thought it was so cool that it was from the movie that they didn't want to replace it. So it just like lived there as this like living relic from the movie.
I wonder who was it, just regular stunt pilots that did for the film?
That or? I don't know.
I'm just curious.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't Tom Cruise. So.
I'm more than 100% sure it wasn't. I'm just curious.
I mean, I know he does his own stunts and all, but there's a point where...
especially with the doing, there's no way he's like lifting up and breaking back and like, fuck all that. He is not doing that in the fucking jet.
So they were not allowed to touch the controls, even though they were in... These real crafts, they rent it like $11,000 a day, F-18s.
No, it was $11,000 an hour, because I watched some video on that. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It was $11,000 an hour to rent those planes. Tom Cruise was adamant about everything being practical. So all the scenes of them flying around and you're seeing the scenery and stuff, that's not like a green screen around a cockpit that they're adding in. That's literally them in those cockpits. Being filmed.
So it's somebody down there with a fucking, you know.
Well, I think it's probably they're in like a two passenger situation where they're.
Yeah,
like,
because you got Rooster in the back.
I'm pretty sure that's filming magic to a degree, but.
I'm just having fun.
Yeah. But that those are actual scenes where Tom Cruise actually set up, created a program to teach the young actors how to react like they are controlling the plane. So all the like. you see the other people doing it too, where Tom Cruise is like, in the plane.
Oh, when he's going down the cavern. Yeah. He's like,
and you see the different actors doing versions of that. That's because he took them to literally classes to learn how to do.
Hangman actors said they had vomit bags under their seats the whole time, and he filled his through every scene. So
I got to give him props for that at least, right? I mean, they wanted to keep it, I don't know, somewhat authentic, I guess. Like, I don't know if I hate on him for that.
No, fair enough. So we didn't mention the director, who is the guy who directed Tron Legacy or whatever.
Which wasn't a bad sequel either.
It's underrated, honestly.
I kind of am of that opinion, too.
I never watched Legacy. Actually, I've never seen the entirety of the original Tron. But
oh my God, what?
There's a lot of 80s stuff. I've never seen E.T. It's a lot of 80s stuff.
Oh God. Yeah. Oh.
My dude.
That's a point of pride for me that I've never seen E.T., actually.
That you should not be proud of that at all. Yeah. No, not at all.
He phones home.
If anything, your dick should get smaller.
Well, then it'll probably be more comfortable for a lot of ladies then.
Tom Cruise size.
Tom Cruise size.
Jackhammer ready.
But
Tom D. Woodard, jackhammer ready.
Dude, oh God. You put that as your tagline on the fucking podcast page.
On my helmet, yeah.
Jackhammer is your fucking call sign.
There you go.
What do you guys think the chances are that Tom Cruise was the actual director of this movie?
Better than 50%, I would say.
I'm going to go a solid 75.
Yeah, I think that Tom Cruise was probably the director of this movie.
If you see him as a producer as well as an actor...
Oh, he was.
I'm saying if anybody listening ever sees Tom Cruise as a producer, you better bet that he is all up in that director chair like, no, motherfucker, I got you.
He's making a lot of creative choices.
And he was an executive producer on this film, so yeah.
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 Do you think the director was the one that was making all the calls on what the jet scenes were going to be, all the dogfighting scenes were?
No. I do love that they gave memoriam to Tony Scott because he couldn't be here to direct the sequel. He directed the first one. That was nice. That was.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Now, the director made the calls on what craft service is served on given days of the week. Today's spaghetti day, except Tom Cruise is like, I don't like spaghetti. Today's pizza day.
I can't have cars, bro. I'm 60, man. No pasta.
Today's chicken breast day again.
It's just chicken breast with like lemon spritzed on it.
I'm pretty sure Tom Cruise just exists on like half of one unseasoned chicken breast, rose water, and maybe like a piece of mint. And then like that's his whole
Is that why
diet.
He doesn't look 60?
That might be why he doesn't look 60, because there's no toxins in his body.
See, I feel like Tom Cruise does look 60. Like, he's well-maintained, of course. He looks like somebody who takes care of himself and is healthy. But I feel like he definitely looks 60. I kind of wish he would just let himself go gray or whatever his natural color is.
You think that...
So he'd look like his character in Collateral.
He did have gray in Collateral with Jamie Foxx. Yeah, that was...
No, he had like white blonde hair or something.
No, it was like gray white. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There was no white blonde. He looked old.
He looked like a producer that would have been caught up in the Me Too movement. Like,
So like he looks now.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
What I was going to say is, do you think that is part of his thing is that because he eats and lives relatively clean, that you think he does look 60, but also if you were to pull another person who's 52 in some instances, they would look older than him.
Oh, definitely.
Because of the clean lifestyle.
Well, I think it's powered by Xenu. I think his positive thinking philosophy.
We're not going into that. You're not baiting me into that. We're not
having the conversation about the DC 10s flying in the volcano. God.
That's why he has one half of a chicken breast in rose water, because he needs to make sure that there's enough room for all the thetans in his body.
to release the thetans
is that he doesn't feed the thetans. They're like tapeworms. I don't know if you knew this about thetans. They're like tapeworms, is that if you eat more food, the more thetans procreate in your body.
Release the thetans.
Yes. That's the fucking episode.
Release the thetans. Holy shit. No, but is that is that part of his magic? Where because he eats clean, he looks younger than other
of course
people of the same age.
He eats clean, he's rich, and he takes care of himself as a lifestyle, not just for, oh, I'm making this movie, I need to take care of myself.
With that instance, do you think that Mark Wahlberg will look just as young at 60 as Tom Cruise does? Because Mark Wahlberg does the same shit.
Mark Wahlberg already looks like a British bulldog. Like, he's already widening out a little bit. He's got the fucking jowl movements happening.
No, but I mean, like,
And Tom Cruise obviously had some plastic surgery, like, early on.
Yeah.
If you look at Tom Cruise from, like, the 80s and early 90s, the transition was in there somewhere. I think somewhere in the mid 90s, Tom Cruise.
And if you look, there is a gap in movies that spans, like, roughly, like, I'd say 2 to 3 years where he could, like, easily heal and no one would even think twice about it.
That's when he's getting his state and suction done.
Yeah.
And
he wasn't a Scientologist at that point, dude.
He might have been. He might have been, like, ahead of the curve and we just didn't know.
You're saying him and John Travolta have a secret jerk-off sessions in a basement?
You think they weren't? I bet John Travolta yells Tom when he comes.
Oh.
Well, yes, you're going to yell the name of your god when you come.
Yeah, right.
Tom!
What's better, yelling Tom or yelling Cruise? Cruise! No, I really like.
And then Terry Crews shows up and he's like, hey, somebody call me?
The one thing that I do want to touch before we finish on this episode, and it's a very important thing to touch on, is the fact that Val Kilmer did make a reappearance.
Dude, was there CGI done to him? Because that motherfucker looked the best I've ever seen him look in years.
They AI'd his voice.
Well, I know that, but I'm talking about his face.
Yeah,
because he can pretty much not talk at all at this point.
And he looked like Val Kilmer. And last time I saw Val Kilmer, he didn't look like Val Kilmer.
No, they did a lot of work to make him look as good as possible. And they did a really good job.
It did.
It didn't look bad. It looked pretty natural. He did look like he's been through it, through the ringer. And,
which they describe in the film.
And they wrote it into the plot, and I think that was great. And I think it was really a smart move to get
him
in. And
a good nod to Val, too, because he was a big part of the first film. He was. Iceman was a huge part.
The thing I was not stoked on was that then they murdered him. I didn't think it was really necessary to kill off the character.
They showed him on his last leg, and it was coming back, and it got worse. No, but, like, come the fuck on,
the reason
dude.
The reason they took him out was to take away Tom Cruise's support system, which was basically
because now with the character we have,
they had already said that that you're at the end, like Iceman can't save you again. In the plot,
I was gonna say, because what we got after that was what with the character we haven't mentioned, which was a great piece of this film, was fucking John Hamm's character, dude.
Yeah,
holy shit,
Cyclone,
dude.
I think
Cyclone, he fucking, dude, I hated him and loved him at the same time. That beautiful bastard, John Hamm was perfect for that role, man.
John Hamm was very good at what he did. He him being like handsome and irritated is he does.
That's
it.
All I want to be in my life.
Like
handsome and irritated, dude. Yeah, I mean, come on, man. Like, I mean, we've got tons of we've gotten a lot from John Hamm since Mad Men. He did that.
That has to be a shirt, right? Like, we have to make a shirt that says handsome and irritated.
Yeah.
I think that needs to happen.
What was that movie he did with
he was in
Larry David. Where
he did a movie with Larry David?
Yeah, where
he was in Baby Driver. I remember
that. No, it was that movie where
he stole Larry David's idea, and Larry David became like a hermit.
He made like a smart car,
yeah.
And then it was an HBO movie.
Oh, it was good though. Like,
that was
it was
like
Oscar worthy.
Curb
but
Your Enthusiasm meets like some like low budget HBO sci fi movie.
Yeah,
you know,
but
I would watch that.
Yeah,
and he's had tons of other, I mean, definitely Baby Driver, but he's had tons of other, like, cameos in films since Mad Men. Like, I feel like he's proven himself.
Oh, his fucking role in Bridesmaids. Brilliant.
So, he delivered a line in Bridesmaids, so it's me. I went and saw it by myself in the theater. It was, like, me and, like, all women in the theater. He delivered a line that I don't remember what it was, but he's in bed with Kristen Wiig. I laughed out loud in the bottom of the pit of my gut laugh. By myself, nobody, because it wasn't supposed to be funny for women, I guess, so it wasn't. So it was just one asshole dude in the theater. Like,
that's amazing. That's fucking amazing. All the women being like, ugh,
this fucking guy. No, that's take one for the team, bro. Take one for the team.
We love you, John Hamm. Similar experience when I was in 50 Shades of Grey, where
I don't know if it was exactly the same.
That's when I was just yelling, Tom! Like, that wasn't, I also yell Tom when I
dude,
come.
Oh, we need to, dude, no, we need to make a new game. Instead of Marco Polo, it's Tom! Cruz!
Call the game Wingman.
Or Hangman.
Or Hangman, yeah.
Or Hangman.
You lost, you're playing Hangman. Yeah.
Dude, oh, this is terrible. We've come with like 8 shirt ideas, I think, yep, in this fucking episode. Anyway.
I got my work cut out for me.
Yeah. Just do the ones that are the most important to you.
Which is going to be the, you know, handsome and irritated shirt.
I think that could be a fun shirt.
That's one of those things that, like, I love the Tucci shirt. I have the Tucci shirt too. But like the shirts that are the most popular are the ones where like really that. Like, I spent 13 hours on this other design that nobody's bought, but the fucking Tucci gang shirt.
It's like being on stage when you're doing stand-up, and you're like, oh, people like the stupid one. Okay, cool. Whatever
guess,
sells.
Cool, here's the stupid one, I guess. Fuck.
Fine, have at ya. But no, John Hamm definitely, I think, crushed, because he's basically the Skerritt character, you know, and Tom in the original Top Gun was definitely more stoic. He was passionate, but not to the point of like, dude, John Hamm's character was hard.
Oh yeah.
He was like, I see no reason why. He was making every chance he had, they wrote in a fucking old joke for Maverick, even though like they're roughly the same age. Like,
well, I think Tom Cruise's character is supposed to be probably a decade older.
Really? Because John Hamm's fucking old.
Imagine you've been running this program for like fucking like 15 years, something like that. You've been doing a really good job. You're already worried about the fucking drone dude that's trying to like steal your job.
Ed Harris.
And Ed Harris is trying to steal your fucking, like, just ruin your fucking job. You've done a great job. And then all of a sudden you get this thing like, hey, you know the guy that's like legendary for being a piece of shit and like super selfish, and he does like super risky things.
But also
gets other
did really awesome stuff that was.
But
badass.
Does awesome stuff, but is like a lot to deal with, and everybody that's worked with him is like, oh man, God, he's such a fucking headache to deal with. So you're gonna have to deal with him. Also, there's all these other people that are hot shots in their own regard that have already gone through the program, so they have high opinions of themselves,
and they've already been on missions and they've had a kill.
They're gonna be
apparently Hangman had a kill.
The older guy that thinks that he's hot shit. So it's just be a lot of hot shit people, like, fucking hot shitting at each other. So you got 2 weeks.
Three weeks.
Have fun. And so him being exacerbated, you know, after the call, he just, like, put his head between his legs. Fuck.
I think the first time he lifted his head from his legs was when Maverick walked in the door and was like, all right.
Yeah. And then tried to make a joke, yeah.
Yeah, he tried to.
It's funny because, you know, John Hamm and Tom Cruise are basically, they're not the same person, but they're from the same fraternity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
They were both at that party that has the fraternity shut down for a limited amount of time as investigations are done. So you think they would be bros.
As the investigations are underway. Yeah. Hey, dude, we're good, right? Cool. All right. Yeah. Holy shit. All right.
Woo. All right. So we got to get out of here. Yeah. We're at the last little bit of our episode, and that, of course, always comes with
this is really long.
Making a drunken scene.
Making a drunken scene.
All these characters have pretty good lines in
this
scene. So.
No, they do. This scene's amazing. This is actually a really good scene from the Top Gun.
Yeah.
I will be Charlie.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Tondi's going to Charlie.
Let's do it. I'm Maverick then. Let's fucking
okay.
go.
And I'll goose
who's
it up.
Who's Lieutenant? Oh, no. It's just those three, right?
Yep. It's yep. just okay. those three.
Sorry.
Oh, no. Iceman says bullshit. Okay. I think one of those
I'll okay. yell that.
Are you, can just, you handle that?
I can handle that.
Just saying bullshit?
It might be like Corpse Grinder style, but I'll do it.
Bullshit.
Okay.
Bullshit.
All right, so I will be playing Goose, Lowdown is playing Maverick, and Tondi is playing Charlie in the scene from the original Top Gun, the Top Gun about Maverick, but not titled Maverick movie.
But the sequel is Maverick.
Sequel is Maverick.
Sequel is Maverick.
The first movie.
First one was just called Top Gun Tom Cruise.
Top Gun Tom Cruise, yes. Yeah. Ready to go, starting with Charlie.
Excuse me, Lieutenant. Is there something wrong?
Yes, ma'am. The data on the MiG is inaccurate.
How's that, Lieutenant?
Well, see, I was scratching my ass, and I just happened to see a MiG-28.
We?
Do a... Sorry, Goose. We happened to see a MiG-28 do a 4G negative dive.
Where did you see this?
That's classified. Sorry.
It's what?
It's classified. I didn't fuck up again. I could tell you, but then I'd have to fuck you because you're my sister.
Lieutenant, I have top secret clearance. The Pentagon sees to it that I know more than you.
Well, ma'am, it doesn't seem so in this case now, does it? Because my 3 inches didn't do shit.
True that, you, Lieutenant. So, Lieutenant, where exactly were you?
Well, we...
Thank you.
Started up on a 6 when he pulled from the clouds, and then I moved in above him.
Well, if you were directly above him, how could you see him?
Because I was inverted.
Bullshit.
Oh,
yeah, I'll take it. Yeah.
I fucked that up.
No, he was man. I was really great. It was a real great move. He was inverted.
You were in a 4G inverted dive with a MiG-28?
Yes, ma'am.
At what range?
About 2 meters.
Well, it was actually about 1.5, I think. It was 1.5. I got a great Polaroid of it. He's right there. Must have been about 1.5.
It was a nice picture.
Oh, thanks. Jesus Christ.
Lieutenant, what were you doing there?
He was communicating.
Communicating. Keeping up foreign relations. I was, you know, giving him the bird.
You know, the finger.
Holds up his middle finger to demonstrate.
Here it is.
Yes, yes, I know the finger.
Sorry, I hate it when it does that. I'm sorry, excuse me.
So you're the one?
Yes, ma'am.
Yay, okay.
That was a whole thing that happened.
Woo!
Made my bussy wet.
I completely shit the bed on the fucking one Iceman line. I remember it, and then I'm like, oh, fuck.
You were pausing. I was like, fuck it, I'll take it. Bullshit.
But you do it. We had the same mindset.
Yeah, like, yeah, no, yeah.
Bullshit. Even though Val Kilmer's voice was, at that point, much more sultry.
Yeah, very sultry. That was pre The Saint, which was really his peak for me.
The Saint was really actually a good film.
I saw The Saint in the theater, and I enjoyed it tremendously.
It is goofy. It is silly. It is so much fun.
It is like the only Val Kilmer spy film.
Right? And talk about somebody that deserved a spy movie.
I agree. Kilmer, like, definitely. I think I remember the first time I watched it, it was a few months after it came out. It finally hit the VHS. And we rented it, and I enjoyed it. I have rewatched it since then. I still enjoy it. I think it's a great movie.
And if you enjoyed this episode like you enjoyed The Saint, then make sure to rate, review, subscribe, all the things that you do for podcasts. Make sure you tell your friends about Geeks Under the Influence and how much fun it is to hear us talk in weird voices at the end.
Get a little buzz on. Yeah,
I think that was the most unified we've been on the voices, though.
Yeah, I think so. Normally, it's completely contrasting.
Yeah, ideas that we're doing.
Yeah. So, thank you so much for listening. We will find you next time for another episode of Geeks Under the Influence. I'm Mike the Hobbit.
I'm Lowdown.
Join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
Danger zone.
Join us or die. GUIPodcast.com